Thanks very much to all of our speakers there. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a comment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is this working? Yeah. Okay. I think that there are maybe two or three points of principle or social relevance that need to be noted and that might be parallel to the Baltic situation in Croatia. First is that since the September of last year, we in Croatia have a new legislation on author and related rights, which was passed without the standard democratic legitimation. It was passed as part of the set of laws and regulations to speed up the accession process to the EU. So there was no public discussion on the law proper. One good example of that is that I called the State Institute for Intellectual Property not long before the law was passed, and I asked if I can get the draft of the law and to read it, and they told me, well, no. And then I asked, why? Is there a public discussion at all? And they said, yes, but the public discussion isn't what it used to be. We just invite legal experts to comment on the law. But this is the second point that person made. Anyhow, what would you need to comment? It's 70% European directive translated anyhow. So that's one point I think that is maybe the most serious. The other thing is that the law as it stands now is definitely not apt to respond to the change of technological and creative environment that is going on. And in the case of Croatian law, it means that there are two ways for an author to exercise his rights. One is through a legal deed, another one is through the provisions provisions introduced in the legislation, and these provisions mostly regulate the collective representation and collective administration of rights. So if you go through the rights which can be which are not exclusively exercised collectively, you basically are left nothing with. So I think that authors' rights legislation is somehow more fundamentally corrupt in its architecture. And third point that seems to me to be somehow more broadly of social relevance is that most of the enforcement of copyright and author rights, if we disregard the music industry, is coming both through legislation, which is European directive, and through the businesses from international side. So very little emergent legislation or reason to legislate from within. Those are, I think, somehow three points that are very similar to the Baltic situation, and I guess very, very similar across the Eastern Europe, where the accession process was already done with or is taking place.
I think it's something that's true right around the world. Actually, this point about copyright law largely being written by rights holder lobbyists, basically, certainly. A good book about the process in the US called Digital Copyright by Jessica Littman said that is exactly how Congress writes US copyright law. It just gets all the rights holders together, says, write us a new copyright law. Once you agree, we will pass it. the European Union, I think a lot of countries, I don't think it's just the accession states, had this problem with copyright legislation being rushed through with no scrutiny. It happened in the UK as well, because often European countries have provisions that let them pass EU directives into national law with very little parliamentary debate or scrutiny. This is what happened in the UK. The government implemented the directive in a way that meant it couldn't be amended by Parliament. So, you know, the argument was almost over before it was begun. So I think that's true of a lot of countries around the world. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Robin?
Do you know if the Baltic states have acceded to or ratified any of these WIPO treaties or passed similar types of anti-circumvention laws?
Yes, of course. First of all, I mean, all the three Baltic countries, they have ratified and implemented the WIPO treaties, as well as the EUCD directive, which also does contain the anti-circumvention provisions. Unfortunately, the implementation is quite poor, but not that bad. I think there are worse examples in around Europe. The approach which is taken is that the copyright holders must ensure that the rights of the users or the copyright exceptions somehow can be still somehow enjoyed by the users. If they do not provide some ready available means for such a possibility for the users to enjoy the rights or to enjoy the exceptions, the law suggests some mediation procedure and eventually suggests that they shall simply go forward to the court if they cannot agree. That's the way how it was implemented. But there is a general provision that the right holders shall ensure that the technological protection measures shall not disallow the other users' rights as well as the copyright exceptions.
I have no idea what's the state of EUCD implementation in Croatia. But, I mean, the issue of implementation of these more complex IPR issues are also depend on the lack of IPR competence within the Croatian context. I mean, it's really difficult to get people who are expert on the IPR. I think there are very few or none. There is no one teaching IPR law, in particular at the law school in Zagreb. So, I mean, that reflects very well. The other day I spent 15 minutes talking on the telephone to a person in the State Institute for intellectual property, who's expert on authors' rights, and I had to spend 15 minutes explaining that iCommons is not a particular license for a particular good, but rather a licensing solution. And I mean, it's very difficult if these things are there in law, they are definitely not in implementation yet.
And just one more remark. I mean, in Lithuania, by the way, I know some people, and I myself would support. I'm trying to support, let's say, some contemplation, to test the practical application of this provision of the law. I mean, by simply referring to the right holders, which apply the technical protection measures nowadays. I mean, every DVD or every CD is almost protected by these technical protection measures, and to test how these provisions would work in practice in terms of how they would allow us to enjoy our own rights, including rights to make like one private copy and things like that. But not yet.
The lady at the back with the scarf.
I'm sorry. Okay. Two questions, not questions really, one is an observation. The first observation is that I'm from India, I'm from Sarai, New Delhi, and there's a striking similarity in what you describe about the haste, the urge of people to bring regulations of copyright into conformance with what are called the forward-looking or the international this thing. That's quite this thing. What is interesting, however, is how spaces of enforcement and of law are negotiated. As in, we have areas in Delhi where there are large where there's constant battlegrounds between police who conduct raids with lawyers and with actually and with copyrights holders. And also areas like settlements in and around Delhi where a massive amount of piracy happens on a very regular and a mundane basis and this thing. So is there a similar amount of contestation of these spaces, of a rather vigorous contestation of these spaces, is my first question. Secondly is an observation you talked about how there's an urge to increase sanctions, as in making someone who's bankrupt $1 million, it won't make much of a difference. You make him bankrupt $3 million because he's just bankrupt. And this is also interesting because you're taking, when you're bringing punitive measures into civil law, you're actually taking on the role of a criminal law, this thing, when you're trying to enforce, when you're trying to bring punitive measures rather than compensatory measures. Mm-hmm. This is also a very interesting way in which somehow or the other, the line between what is considered a civil wrong and a criminal wrong is blurring. So this thing, but I would just like to ask you about the first question, is that how do you see on the ground enforcement of these things happening, that's of copyright and piracy?
Mm-hmm. Well, in respect of enforcement, I do think that, you know, the whole enforcement approach is quite screwed in the Baltic countries. And it's not only a feature of the Baltic countries, but I think it was somewhat caused by, you know, some BSA culture, let's say, and this IFPI culture on how they try to enforce their rights. I mean, they are simply, you know, this enforcement becomes simply some form of a revenge against someone, you know, like a former employee trying to revenge his former employer. And some, or the competitor trying to get rid of the other competitor by means of enforcing someone else's IPR, even though both of them, they are perfectly aware that they are both infringing copyright and using the same stuff. So this is how it works. And moreover, if we talk in particular about Lithuania, I mean, we do have some substantial problems in the procedural laws when it comes down to enforcement, because traditionally the copyright societies, these collecting societies, they've been involved in most of the enforcement, and they've managed to lobby, you know, that some member of the collecting society might be present in the course of the, let's say, doing a raid at the premises of the alleged infringer, and shall be involved in consulting the enforcement bodies on the issues of the infringement, which in my own opinion is a total nonsense, just because, I mean, it is quite obvious to anyone that the collecting society is the interested party in this situation. And when it comes down especially to the criminal law or administrative law, it shouldn't be allowed to participate to somehow influence the process of enforcement. Yet another problem is that the collecting societies or the BSA itself, it ends up being an expert in the court, you know, some giving some testifying on the issues whether the particular act was an infringement or not, because they have been hiring the copyright experts, you know. They have been the most active in promoting their expertise in copyright law. And there were a lot of cases in Lithuania when they were called as an experts in the court to testify on a particular activity, whether this is an infringement or not. Of course, again, I do think this is screwed, just because they are quite partial and obviously partial. Now, in respect of the sanctions, I think I try to emphasize this, and I fully agree that you know, when it comes down to the civil law, it is civil law shall only regulate the compensatory part and shall not be a punishing instrument for the infringer. But unfortunately, in many countries, and especially in my own country, it has largely became a punishing instrument, you know, instead of the administrative or instead of the criminal law. Because the fine which is applicable under the criminal code is usually much less than what you can get as a lawsuit under the civil law. On the other hand, this, as I tried to emphasize, this basically backfired against the right holders themselves, just because, first of all, they have incurred very substantial expenses in trying to enforce the criminal, the civil lawsuits, and they were never able to recover the original sums invested into these lawsuits, regardless of the amount of the lawsuit. And the second point is that you know, the disenforcement it did affected a lot of small companies, but it did affected also few larger companies which do have some, let's say, political weight, and you know, the relationship with the political lobbyists and stuff like that, and. As a result, simply when the implementation of the EU CD was considered in the Lithuanian Parliament back in the 2003, one of the other issues which was addressed was the this decrease of or softening of the civil sanctions available. And of course, BSA was not at all happy about this. There was very, very strong lobby from outside. But you know, as long as the United States, the Microsoft or the other American companies are not yet paying for the political campaigns in Lithuania, and it's the local businesses who do. So you know, the local businesses managed to win this fight, and this is how the civil sanctions were softened.
Yeah, I know in Croatia, much of the piracy has been eradicated in terms of business, so there is no this shady area of piracy business. I guess the only ones doing business now with pirated content are ISPs, because, I mean, most of the pirated copies are nowadays downloaded and not anymore sold in the streets. So I guess that's my answer.
Perhaps in Croatia, they have got the pricing right more than they have in the Baltic states, to get search warrants, to ask for double damages and various things like this. We are actually, if you're particularly interested in this or copyright in Europe, we're having a workshop on Sunday, which is mentioned in the conference program. So if any of you are interested in coming along to that, it's free. So that would be great.
I'd like just to say that in Croatia, it's hard to see it on the street, but there is that black market. But yeah. It's they did a couple of actions which was quite visible to people. So there is no way that you can just go somewhere and buy something, but it's more like peer-to-peer, not just through, you know, internet, but peer-to-peer as a model of hand-to-hand.
Just one more short remark. I mean, in the Baltic countries, one of the factors, you know, which affects the level of piracy and availability of these pirated goods is that we geopolitical location, let's say. Most of the pirated stuff is coming out from Russia nowadays. And you know, our proximity to Russia adds up to the fact that, I mean, these goods are quite available in Lithuania.
That was one of the justifications that the EU used for rushing this enforcement directive through without giving the new member states a chance to vote on it, because they said, oh, the new member states will be a highway for pirated goods from Russia and China. It was a rather disgraceful approach to democracy, I think, but...
It's not a question, it's a short comment. I come from Slovenia, and Dr. Kiskis, you, on your lecture, there was a sign copyrighted. So, well, the point is that if I would introduce the Slovenian situation, I would have to violate your copyright, because situation is totally the same. In terms, the only difference is that we do not have such a strong copyright department at university, but all the sentences that you wrote, mm-hmm. or what you said, you could copy paste for Slovenia, and I would say that Croatian situation is similar, and in other countries that are in similar geographical position as well. Unless that in Croatia we have activists, that we don't have it in Slovenia. And that would be my comment. And the other one is a request. When you will be finished with your practical tests of anti-technological measures in Lithuania, I would be very, very interested in these results, because I want to do something the same in Slovenia to test these things in practice. And just for the end, you were interested for the anti-circumvention measures in Croatia. I read the law, and it's something similar that it is in Lithuania. It seems very well on the paper. I have no idea how it will work in practice. Basically, it's that copyright holders have to, or should ensure that the right users can benefit from exceptions, but if this doesn't happen, the potential beneficiaries have to apply for the ministry who will be responsible for this area. I don't know exactly which ministry it is, and then the ministry issue order how to do it. I mean, it's really well on the paper, but I don't know how it will look in practice when you will try to use private use exemption. You will be very comfortable sitting on your sofa, and then you will have to apply for the certain ministry and wait for how long to get the right to use this exception. I mean,
yeah, I mean this is also the case in the UK and several other of the old member states. We produced a guide last year to the implementation of the directive in the old member states. I have some copies here if anyone would like a copy, but it's also on our website at fipr.org. The UK does exactly the same. You have to apply to a government department, and they may or may not do something about it. They're very vague. There were some countries which in their draft implementations of the directive gave people a private right of action in the courts, but actually a lot of the countries moved away from that model in their final legislation and said, no, you have to go to a government-approved tribunal or mediation service to sort this out as well. So there are a variety of approaches. Mindy, anything to...
Yeah, I fully agree. I mean, very good comment. And I do not think that Lithuania is alone in this respect. And it would be very interesting to see if any country has already had some practice in putting this, you know, provisions of the reconciliation of the technical protection measures and copyright exceptions into real life. But maybe we need just simply to do some action in all the new member states and try to see how this works.
Certainly there have been actions in France by UFCK Choisir, a consumer organization. So it'll be interesting to see also what happens there. And Belgium as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm.
Which I cannot use, so if anyone has any information in English, please, I would be very interested.
Okay, just a final remark in this respect. You know, the problem in our countries is that, you know, differently maybe from the UK and like Germany, it is simply much easier to crack down the technical protection and not to care very much about any sort of liability. in many cases. So this is what is happening, and I mean, the guys, I mean, it is much easier for them just to crack it down and rather than go through the formal legal processes.
Anybody else? In that case, thank you very much to the speakers. Thank you to you all for coming. And hopefully you might see you on Sunday. Yeah. One final comment.
It's not a comment. We have some promo materials from Egbu Beats. Have some T-shirts, some CDs without any protection. You are free to copy that, listen to that, and some live CD Linux distribution with the video which I just showed. So whoever is interested, we have it here. I can show you and share.
Thank you. Thank you very much.